I wish. If I could sing half as good as you, I'd try it, brother. If I could sing as good as you, I'd quit preaching and go to leading the singing. Wow. It's good to be here today. We want to thank you all one more time for inviting us. It's a great privilege just to be in this brother's presence, in the presence of all you other preachers that have been here, and a very special friend of mine that sings like a bird and picks a pretty good guitar, and his daddy's one of the best preachers I know. And he sang a special song this morning. He sang the introduction to my message. And I've got it written down right here. Introduction. His grace still amazes me. Oh. How thrilling. I was going to ask him to do that. I didn't have to. Now that's thrilling, brethren, when something like that happens. What a blessing. Thank you, my dear brother. I thank the Lord for you. And praise Him for you. Oh. If you have your Bible and would like to read with us, we're going to read a few verses out of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm a little emotional after that particular song, so I hope that don't bother you too much. And I hope we're getting more and more emotional about the message. Ephesians chapter 2. And you, as He made alive, are quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. In which in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom we all had our conversation in time past, or our manner of life, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, with His great love wherewith He loved us even when we were dead in sin, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Yeah. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That's important when you think about all the times that Christ Jesus is mentioned here. It's because God wants your mind to focus on whatever you have in the way of salvation is through Him and nobody else. Not the preachers praying, not grandma's praying, not the preacher preaching. It's Jesus Christ. For by grace, or because by grace you're saved, through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. There you see, again. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I stand amazed. I stand amazed. When I think about what I used to be before God changed me, turned my life around, I'm amazed. A sinner, dead in trespasses and sin, having no fear of God before my eyes, running reckless and rampant around the world, doing just whatever I thought I was man enough to do, and sometimes trying to do things I wasn't man enough to do. Blind, deaf, these wouldn't help me a bit. Not a bit. Couldn't hear. A spiritual corpse. That's why I couldn't see. That's why I couldn't hear. I was dead. We just read that. Dead in trespasses and sin. And Paul writes the same thing to the Colossian brethren in chapter 2 and 13. That they were dead. One time they were dead. A sinner that not only was dead, but a sinner that was a willing slave to the devil. Anything he wanted me to do, I was willing. I never argued with him that I can remember. In Ephesians 2, you remember we were dead in sin, which in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power there, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That was what I was. And if you're here this morning without Christ Jesus in your life, that's you. And you need to listen up. As hard as it is to listen. Because you're deaf. Unless God opens your ears. And it's a terrible thing to be in that condition. And he writes to Titus. And he says, for we ourselves, he includes himself. We, not you, we ourselves also were one time foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Sinners, dead in sin, willing slaves, deserving, a sinner deserving to spend eternity in the lake of fire. I'm amazed at that when I think about it. That's what I used to be. That's what makes it amazing. That's what it used to be. It's not amazing that I was that way. It's natural. But the great amazing part is what I am now.
Yeah, that's right.
What I am now. Alive from the dead. Paul said we've been made alive from the dead. Yeah. We're not dead in trespasses and sin anymore. Oh, we're still sin. We still stumble, fall down. God gets us back up. Because we ain't got sense enough to get up. Most of the time. John 6:63, one of my favorite passages in chapter 6. And you hath he made alive by the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. It's the Spirit. Not works. Not praying. Not praying the sinner's prayer. It's the Spirit of the living God. All by Himself. Instantaneously making alive. That's amazing. It is to me. It may not be amazing to you. I hope it is. But that the Spirit of God would come to something that I've just described and make them alive. Not because they deserved it. No. He didn't say the Spirit maketh alive when you deserve it. He said the Spirit makes alive. It is the Spirit. Nothing else. No. No ads, no ifs, ands, or buts. It's the Spirit that makes alive. No longer a servant of the devil. No. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Verse 12 and 13. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Yeah. No longer servants of sin, we're servants of God. Yeah, when we're quickened and made alive, and we come to know the Lord Jesus, what a tremendous blessing it is. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, he says, well, let's go back to 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies through the pure purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We're servants. We're slaves. Yeah. Dear old preacher over in Siberia write me a letter, and he'd sign his name at the bottom, a slave of Jesus. And that thrilled me when I'd read that letter and see it. He'd see his signature and see it. He was a slave to Jesus. Yeah. That's what John the Baptist was. He was a slave to Jesus. That's what I want to be. That's my greatest desire, is to be a sold out slave to Jesus Christ and nobody else. And as has been told several times in this conference, we are made accepted in the Beloved. Accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians chapter 1. Listen, if we could understand all that entailed, we'd be so amazed we'd go around bug-eyed all the time. We don't have any idea, most of us anyway, some of you may, have a great idea about all that is involved in being accepted in Christ Jesus. I know it's in Christ and nobody else. To be accepted in Him. That means that my Father has accepted me in Christ Jesus. He chose me in Christ. He redeemed me by Christ. He reconciled me by the death of Christ. And as my dear brother sings, in my Father's eyes. In my Father's eyes. That's hard to get a hold of. That's somebody that I've just described to you. That the Father could look at him and see him in Christ and be satisfied. Just as if we'd never sinned. Been washed away. Accepted in the Beloved. Oh, the Beloved. That means we're beloved too. We are beloved of the Father as Christ was beloved of the Father. And I'm amazed about that. I stand amazed that I, a wretched, miserable man, decrepit and old and not useless anymore, could be accepted in Christ, the Beloved. And not just accepted, but adopted into the family of God. I wasn't born into the family. I have some guys talking about being born again into the family of God. No, I don't believe that. If I'm born again into the family of God, why did God adopt me? Did He have to do it twice to get me into the family of God? No. God don't have to do nothing twice. If He wants it done, He'll do it right the first time. Because if He has to do it twice, it means He failed the first time. And He's not going to do that. No. I fail Him so many times. If you knew it, you would never have me in the building. You wouldn't even let me sit on the pew back there. Much less stand here in this holy place and preach the Word of God. But He never failed me one time. He's always been my help. Yes. Adopted into His family. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. And in Romans chapter 8, Paul said, we have received the spirit of adoption. That really makes us kin folks. You know that? We're brothers. And you can't do anything about it. That makes us love one another. Because the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. And you can't help it. You see somebody, you meet a new believer, never met them before, and you fall in love with them. And I've done it instantly. It's an amazing thing. I met this brother, it was love at first sight. I met Curtis Pugh. It was love at first sight. And Janet Pugh and Anna, they came to our church visiting, talk about the Romanian work that he was wanting to do, and just thrilled my heart. And I fell in love with him because of the Spirit of God that dwelt in him. He had the spirit of adoption in his soul. and more blessings than you realize are yours and mine because we have received the spirit of adoption in Christ Jesus. We're going to be eternity learning, I think, all of the blessings that are ours in Christ. You know, he writes about them there in Ephesians chapter 1. Brother read them last night. I believe it was, or sometime yesterday. Yeah. The blessings that are ours. Heavenly blessings. Not earthly blessings. No. I need heavenly blessings. And add on top of that, he called me to preach. Not just save my wretched soul, but called me to preach his word and pastor one of his precious churches. And you'll never know if you haven't done it how precious that is. Yeah. I wouldn't trade jobs with Donald Trump. No. He ain't got anything. No. He's a pauper in reality. I got riches untold. Because my father, you see, I don't know who Donald Trump's father was. Don't know if he does, but I'm telling you one thing. I know who mine is, and I know he owns everything. Yeah. And he has a bunch of little churches scattered all over the country. And he's called men and set them over those little churches and blessed them and put them through trials that you'll never know about. That's why it's so important for church members when they're praying to talk to the Father about their pastor. Yeah. I'm amazed. I stand amazed, brother. Oh. One other thing that I'm amazed about, and then I'll go. I'm amazed not only when I think about what I used to be and am now. I'm amazed. I mean, really amazed, brother, sisters, about what I'm going to be. You knew we was going to get to that, didn't you? I'm amazed at what I'm going to be. I'm a child of the King already. Amen. But that ain't all. One of these days, and I hope it ain't long, I'm going to be a glorified son of God. A glorified son. Paul writes to the Philippian brethren and he said our citizenship is in heaven. Or our conversation, if you like that word better. Yeah. Our conversation is in heaven from which we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's where we belong. That's where we're going to be. Yeah. Who shall change our vile body that we'll be fashioned like unto his glorious body? That's what I'm looking forward to. That's amazing. If you know the Lord Jesus, that's amazing to think about being glorified. I think some of the apostles got a glimpse of that on the mountain when they saw Moses and Elijah. They just got a glimpse of it. And Peter got so excited he couldn't control himself. Lord, we need to build 3 tabernacles here. He was amazed too. Yes, he was. No longer haunted by sin and the devil. Glorified. No more lusting eyes. No more wicked thoughts. No more evil deeds. No more stumbling and falling. Behold, John writes, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And does not appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Even so come, Lord Jesus. I'm longing to see this old brother here because I like the way he thinks. He said, for I know, not I think, not maybe so, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worm destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Yeah. Whom I'll see for myself. I like that part. Especially. I'll see him for myself. I won't have to look at him through somebody else's eyes anymore. I won't have to look at him through Paul's eyes, through John's eyes, through Peter's eyes, or James's eyes, or Matthew's eyes, or Luke. I see him with my own eyes. The King of Kings, face to face. You know, we sing that old song, face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face. What will it be? Oh, I'm amazed. Old brother Isaiah, he's a good old brother, tells me, he said, thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. And Isaiah 33:17. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. What a spectacular scene that will be. We have no language to describe how great it's going to be. No. At least I've never discovered any words in my limited ability to describe how great the King is going to look. And we won't have to wait to be summoned. We don't have to wait now. We can go right to the throne and speak to him. And the psalmist said in Psalm 17:15, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I'll be satisfied. Something we've never experienced before. Yeah. A glorified Son of God, seeing my Savior face to face. A citizen. I stand amazed that one of these days I'm going to be a citizen of that holy city. Amen. That heavenly city. Yeah, that John saw. Yeah. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Yeah. I go and prepare a place for you. I believe he's about got it ready. But as it is written, eyes not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. You have to love him, or none of this will benefit you. Yeah. Somehow. Yeah. Only one way that'll ever happen is if God quickens your spirit, makes you alive, and brings you to Christ. Then, oh, can you imagine? No, you can't. I'm not even going to. No sense in asking. I know you can't imagine how great it's going to be. I can't either. Pick out the smartest man in this group. I don't know which one it is. He don't know either how great it's going to be. May God bless you. I love you. Thank you again for your generosity. Your wonderful ladies, listen to me. I love y'all. And I told you that before. Some of you didn't hear me. But everybody that's sweat, one drop of sweat out there in that kitchen fixing something for me to eat. I love you in Christ Jesus. You're wonderful. You're amazing. God bless you, brother.